Praise the Lord, family. Who woke you up this morning? Started you on your way. What's his name? Soon coming King. What's his name?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. I'm in the right place. With the right people at the right time. Oh, glory to his name. To see a father and son ministering together and evangelizing wherever God leads them, that's where they go. This morning, amen, we're so grateful for the musicians and the singers. We find in the second book of Chronicles that there was 120 arrayed in white apparel, and they were sounding the trumpet. Amen. And then we come to the New Testament. We find that 120 gathered in the upper room, and there was no discrimination. Boy, Mary was there, and her family was there. And I'm so grateful that when Jesus rose from the dead, he went to his brother James in the book of Corinthians. And James examined him and understood that this is the Son of the living God. Amen. He's not dead. He's alive. Yeah. Amen. God is alive. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thinking this morning of what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me. And that's in the book. Look at somebody, say, it's book. Amen. That's in the book. And then we come again to the New Testament and we find what? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We're going to present our body a living sacrifice. Amen. And this is just our reasonable service. Amen. And so we have a problem here. And so God said, well, there'll be a pandemic come, but my name is higher than, amen, the pandemic. Their name is Jesus, whom is the Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I know that there are those who don't pay attention, amen, and is not understanding. But this world is his, and he's able to redeem it back to himself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's book. It's in the book, amen. And when you look around, amen, and you're having trials and tribulations and tests, that mother, that father, that elder, that pastor that you passed up, when trouble comes in your life, you're looking for them. Amen. But trouble doesn't have to last always. Amen. You can have a life of contentment. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody one more time and say, that's book. Amen. That's in the gospel. This 2 days that we've been here, I'm certainly grateful for, amen, the hospitality, amen, our brothers and our sisters have given. I'm certainly grateful, oh my, for the servants that you sent here, amen, in the person of Brother Murdoch and his lovely wife, Kim, and the family. And we're grateful, amen, that we have no respect of persons. I was listening to my brother as he ministered to us, and I was sharing red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in God's sight. All lives matter. All lives matter in God. And when we talk about peace, we say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In 2 Chronicles, in King James Version, we find here a well-known scripture that they've been quoting this scripture for about 20 years now. Everywhere you go, they quote this scripture. 2 Chronicles 7, amen, and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. It was a time in America where we would hear these mores wherever we went. Good morning. Hello. How are you? We were used to hear anywhere in the country. North, south, east, and west. Young men and women would go to the armed services and you'd hear the same thing. How are you? We used to say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Those of us who, amen, are seniors now, we recognize that prayer would change some stuff. Where they won't receive us, they can't deny the prayer that's been made on their life. If I was to ask a show of hands, people would tell me that I have prayed many times and I've seen many miracles. And so now I trust this God more than ever. They've come, amen, to say to the world, you have come late to tell us that there is no God. For we know there is a God, and we know he rose from the dead. Somebody say amen. We look here and we find the answer to the scripture and to the prayers that have been made by King Solomon. The Bible lets us know that he makes a scaffold 6 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and he takes off his kingly apparel, and he doesn't go in the back room, but he comes out before the congregation, and he falls on his face, and he prays, amen, and he would say, Lord, he would kind of like say, Lord, if we just obey, will you bless us? And God answers even then, before he could answer the prayer, he said, I will. We find in the book of Ezekiel where the Lord says, well, wait a minute. I am doing this for my namesake, 36th chapter. I'm not doing this for y'all. I'm doing this for my great namesake because you have polluted it wherever you've gone. And so now he's looking for us who have become the salt of the earth. He's looking for somebody to call his name in prayer. He's looking for somebody to call his name and pen verses of words that we heard that have become light and life to us. The word of God has become light and life to us. Somebody say amen. I know I'm in the church of the living God because I'm with people who serve a God who cannot fail. He's a God who will, amen, and can and has delivered. How do you know he's a deliverer? When you look upon us and we find that we were shipwrecked, lost, amen, we were stressed, we were out of commission, and we was disjointed from a God who loved his creation. And so he sends his only begotten son into the world to reconnect us to a living God. We needed, amen, we needed a sacrifice. We needed somebody to go before us. They killed all the prophets that came before him. They killed, amen, men and women that came before him. But there's a power in the risen Savior, that though we be slain, yet shall we live. Glory to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but should have everlasting life. We believe on him. The Bible even says for us, they criticize many of us because we clap our hands. But the Bible instructs us, oh, clap your hands and lift your voice with the voice of triumph, for the Lord our God, he reigneth. We heard that in a psalm this morning. Amen. And we find that this Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the blood don't wash off. Glory to God. The blood doesn't wash off. He says in his holy word, if it had not been for the shedded blood of Jesus, I would not have had any remission for my sins. I feel like talking about the Savior this morning. Is that all right? Amen. I feel like telling, amen, the truth this morning. Amen. We are not, amen, lifting up the Lord like we should have. We have not called him like we should have. We used to, amen, say, Lord, if it be thy will, we will go thus and so. But we don't even ask him anything anymore. Ah, we go to eat our supper or eat our breakfast. Don't even pray anymore. Just sip and eat, sip and eat. Ah, but the Lord is still looking for us to acknowledge him, for our bread, amen, and our health come from him. Oh, I'm a glorified God that can save you and deliver you. We look here in this scripture this morning. This is the conclusion of a prayer that had been made. This man who is king, he comes before the whole congregation and he takes his kingly apparel off and he builds a scaffold. It's in the midst. It's not up front even. It's in the midst of the body of believers. And he falls on his face in the dedication, amen, of the temple. But it's not the temple that we worship. It's the temple that rose from the dead. What's his name? Jesus, who rose from the dead. What shall I render unto him? What can I give him that he would, amen, be able to sustain, we would be able to be sustained through him? He's looking for a return on his investment. He has invested in you, and he's looking for a return for his investment. We say, oh, he's just a little baby in the manger, and he's the second person in the Godhead, and he's just came to die for our sins. Oh, but he rose from the dead. You forget to tell them that this Savior that we believe is, he rose from the dead. And because he lives, somebody penned a song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, I feel good about it. Because the debt that I owed, I couldn't pay with my blood. My blood had been tainted. Amen. Some 42 plus generations before he came, my blood was tainted. All our blood was tainted until Jesus came and delivered us. I want you to recognize something today, that when the people look upon you, they no longer see you. They'll only see the blood that covers you. When the devil comes, he's got to stop. He can't go too much farther, because the blood of Jesus covers us. Whenever we sing, whenever we worship, ah, he's worshiping, he's praising, he's getting it through us that we might give it to the world. Somebody say amen. God is not dead, people. God is alive, but he's looking for somebody to acknowledge him, even in the States, United States of America. Problem comes because God is not first place. The problem comes when we take and put ourselves on the throne and push him aside where it should be. We take ourselves off the throne and put Jesus on the throne where he belongs. So we're living in a time, this is a time where there's a great falling away. But it doesn't mean for any of us not to preach and teach the word of God. This is a time where we should be ministering and sounding the alarm. All through the scriptures, it tells, in the book of Joel, it tells the ministers to call a solemn assembly and come to the altar and howl. Amen. The power of what we believe in is the power of prayer. Look at somebody, say, prayer changes things. Find there in the scriptures this morning, there were two sisters whose brother had died. And Jesus came 4 days later. And the one sister said, well, if you had been here, and he's still quiet, he's silent. Then the other sister said, well, we know we'll see our brother again in the resurrection of life. And then, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Lord, man were dead, yet shall he live. We shall live in Christ. We shall be glorified. We have a change of heart. We find that even in Romans 5 and 1, we are justified by faith and have peace with God. How'd you get justified? How'd you get to peace? We got peace, the writer says, peace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The power of what we preach today is not in the grave. He rose from the dead. We find, amen, that the sisters went to the tomb and the stone rolled away. We find that he got up from the grave. But the story don't end just right there. The sisters, the first evangelists, they ran back and told the brothers who were hiding. Knocked on the door and said, he has risen. And they looked at them as if they did not believe. He told them and he appointed them at a place. And before he left, he had a holy supper for them and they communed together. And he said, this is my body. And this is the cup was the blood. And they still did not get it. But when he rose from the dead, the sisters and the brothers ran together to, amen, the tomb. They looked down inside the tomb, and sure enough, he arose from the dead. Don't you look sometimes and say, well, they're not going to believe what I say unless they see it for themselves. And when they see it for themselves, they recognize the fact that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. Be still and know that I am God. We look down in the word, we find that Moses said, well, Lord, you know what? They're not going to really believe me. Who shall I say? Who is sending me? He says, the I am, tell them I am that I am, has sent them. And we look down through the scriptures and we say, see him being, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. We find him in the scriptures saying to the people of God, not only am I the good shepherd, I'm the door by way of where the sheep enter. We find him in the New Testament saying, come unto me all who are heavy laden and burdened with the cares of this life, and I will give you rest. Amen. I'm so grateful today. I'm looking, amen. When your hair turns silver, it don't mean you're old. It just means you got wise. Amen. It means that you took time out to recognize. And then on a Sunday morning, you're in the service of the Lord. Why? Because you realize that he said, don't forsake yourself to assemble together. And so I'm preaching to the church. I'm preaching to the believers who are somewhat don't understand what's going on. This thing that has hit our country has caused us to slow down and consider who is really in charge. He's able to deliver his own world back to himself. Somebody say amen. He's able, amen, to bring us back in right relationship. Amen. He's ready and willing to call us to himself. Some people hear his voice. Listen, they hear the voice. They hear him calling and tugging. I'm not an audible voice, but it's a thing of circumstances that have happened in a person's life. And when they get to the bottom, they say, uh-oh, I must look to someone who can deliver me. Uh-oh! He might hit you when you're 15 or 16 or 12 or 7 or 8 years of age. He might speak to you and say, come on, I'm going to cover you because I have work for you to do. Oh, I love the work that Jesus gives. It's not grievous. The work that he gives is not hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. But he takes a man and allows us to yoke ourselves up to him. And whithersoever he turns us, that's where we go. Whithersoever he keeps us, and the time he keeps us, that is what we do. As we come to the station this morning, and to the space this morning, we find that the Lord is not short concerning his people. He won't leave us. There's been times in the scripture where folks did something that we need to look at. You remember Samson? Samson had messed up all the way around. But at the end of his existence, he asked God to anoint me one more time. And the scriptures allow us to know that he slew more Pharisees in his death than he did in his life. Why? Because he stopped. He took time out. He took time out to recognize, I have messed up. God didn't mess up, but he's a God who can bring me back in right relationship. Ain't you glad this morning? Amen. It tells us that in the book of Isaiah that this woman, amen, this virgin girl shall have a child. And the government would be upon his shoulders. Said that he would be called the Wonderful Counselor. Said he would be called the Everlasting Father. Says that, amen, he would deliver his people from their sins. Pick up 700 years past, coming this way. Going to the New Testament, we find that he speaks to Joseph, the earthly father, to the King of Kings. He says, don't worry about it. This child shall take away the sins of the world. We find as we come to the New Testament, and we come to realization that Jesus, amen, is able to deliver us from all that we are going through. He's a Savior that, he's a ask me God, hallelujah. He's a ask me Savior, hallelujah. He's looking for us to ask him. We're not paupers any longer. We're royal priestly people, amen. And it is fitting that we would ask the Savior of all mankind. We look here this morning and we find that in the second book of Chronicles, where it's been chronicled, where it's been penned, that God is telling us that prayer is the key to the kingdom. He lets us to know all through the Old Testament. He lets us know even Jonah got mad because the Lord, amen, because the Lord answered prayer. We find that, we're going to talk about this a little on Wednesday, but we find that even in the scriptures, he gives a blueprint of how to build an ark on dry land for 120 years, the preaching of the gospel. And we find, oh my, can I share with you? He tells them, we seem to look at the animals. We seem to look at everything. But the power of what happened was when he told him the dimensions of the ark. The ark was also pitched inside out with tar so it wouldn't sink. Pitch it one way, it's possible that leaks would come. When we have our life, leaks come in our life. When we don't stay connected to Jesus, when we don't stay connected to the resurrected, things happen, amen, adversely. But when we are pitched inside out, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of us, we're not the same. We're not the same person. Oh, they look upon us, but what comes out of our mouth is Jesus. We've taken and allowed him to take the reins in our life. Oh, I'm so grateful today where I'm at. The word of God says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. If you want to really live, you need to really know who this Jesus is. I can't twist your arm, but I wish I could. I can't make you, but I wish I could. I can't push you, but I wish I could. But then the Lord says, son, I've sent my comforter to the people, and the comforter will do what you cannot do. The comforter will go where you cannot go. The Spirit of God will move on people where you thought he could not do. Then one day you'll wake up and you'll see for a surety. You'll be in your late 60s, and you look around, and you find out that all the miracles that God said, it's yes and amen. You're not in the wrong place this morning, amen, percussionist. Amen. You're not in the wrong place. You're in the right place. Doing the right thing with the right people. Can I have a couple more minutes to talk to you all about the Savior? Oh, Lord. It says that in the 7th chapter of the 2nd book of Chronicles, in the 1st verse, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled, good God, filled the house. Amen. We need, amen, the glory of the Lord to fill our country. We need the glory of the Lord to fill every hamlet and every hill and every mole. We need the glory of the Lord to fill. So we find in this time that you all have become the trumpets of God. You're the only ones who are left that can carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. Verse 2 says, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. We want the glory of the Lord to fill the house. We don't need another personality. We don't need another preacher. We don't need another priest. We need pastors, amen, that will love you into the kingdom. We need people to deny themselves and to pick up the cross and follow him. Oh, in the gospel this morning, we find that there were people, amen, that gave their life for Jesus. They shed blood for Jesus. I'm reminded that there's two situations going on, Chad. There are nations being judged now. There are the godly nation and the ungodly nation. The power of what I just said is that in either one of the nations, either one of the situations, godly or ungodly, God has some folks in those. He's got a remnant in each one of those. And they will not bow. They will not scrape. They will live. In the final breath that they take, they will be calling on the name of the Lord. They know where they're going. The world is perplexed and troubled in such a way. The pandemic is everywhere. God has given people a chance to be saved. The power of what happened the day of Pentecost is that the 120 and 3,000 souls were added that day, right? And they wanted to sit there and just enjoy each other's company. But then persecution came. And so the church scattered from Judea to the uttermost parts of the world. Is this book? Is this found in the book? And they're scattered. And James, the brother of Jesus, he becomes the first bishop of the church at Jerusalem. But the church did not get so big that it lost the vision. The vision for the mega church was to help the smaller churches way down the road and provide substance that the fledgling small church would not go under. He didn't mean for us to stay like we were. And so I will tell you what's going on right this moment. You know in Mark the 13th chapter, you know in Matthew the 24th chapter, you know Luke the 21st chapter concerning the end time. And we realized that a few years back we were all concerned about we are in the beginning of sorrows. Well, I think we're a little past that now. Y'all. But the church was scattered. God wanted the church to multiply and move. And persecution caused that, Chad. And in the last days in which we live, the same thing that caused the church to spread will be the same thing that caused the church to come back together. We are in a minority now, every one of us sitting here. every one of you who decided to roll over, amen, Sunday morning and look and see what God is saying to the body. And this is what's happened. All denominations and organizations, they are lifting up Jesus Christ. They're lifting up his name higher than the organization or the denomination or the group. And when you do that, you suffer persecution. But also, you see where there are like-minded people who know that Jesus is real. And so now, the thing that caused the church to spread will cause the church to come together. For in the last days, it would be that way. That we would all be brothers and sisters. You can't see it right now, but it's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the Word of God. And I look and I see the joy on people's faces. They're looking for you to talk to them about the glory of this Savior. And that he's more than able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory, dominion, majesty, and power. How long? Both now and ever. In Jesus' name. So at the conclusion of the prayer meeting, the power of God fills the house because man has moved out of the way and allowed the Spirit to flow. Being at some places where they cut the music off too quick, we got to move on. Ooh, we got to go now. Ooh, we quenched the Spirit of God. It's his church, it's his house, but we seem to think that we can tell God what he wants to do when there are people who are hungry. There are people who are starving today. There are people that are homeless. There are people living under bridges. We are people who have plenty. There's a plenty for everybody. And God said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We have a need to become childlike in our believing. We need to. Somebody said, oh, but you're supposed to put away childish things. I'm not talking about frivolous things. I'm talking about approaching God with humility. Approaching God as humble as we can. And acknowledging who he really is. And then, you know what happens? The tears roll down our cheeks. Gather under our chin and fall. Because we realize that it's not us who made us, but it is he who made us. Again, we look down in the scriptures and we find that the house where they was, they built it for the Lord. It was filled, amen, with his presence after prayer was made. In each instance in the Old Testament, you found Samson, he had to pray. Noah had to pray. I got three hard-headed sons. Oh, excuse me. I have three sons. And I'm going to preach the gospel for 120 years. We find in the New Testament, Jesus prayed. He prayed that so hard that the sweat was as beads of blood. He said, I don't really want to do this. I really don't want to die. He's human. Oh man, oh God. He said these words, not my will. Not my will. No. Not my will. Not my will. But thy will be done. And so he dies on the cross. But the story doesn't end there. Went to the tomb. But the story doesn't end there. Rose from the dead, passed through the house. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I feel in the sides. Jesus said, I'm not a spirit. Can a spirit eat a piece of honeycomb? And so the Lord says, blessed are they who believe and have not seen him. We are the people of the living God, and don't ever allow the world to sell you short. Never. Because they can come to you when they're in trouble. I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. You're going to want to hear him one day. Because every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. I got a feeling everything will be all right. Until then, I'm going to praise the Lord. Until then, I'm going to glorify him. With every ounce, with every step that I take, I have to reply and rely on the Lord who made us. He's a God who's never failed. And he's not going to fail now. Oh, Lord, tell him there are some people who are suffering in the hospital. First responders are suffering everywhere. Truck drivers bringing groceries to us everywhere. There are people who are serving us all day long. And they would do it again. The mail service serving us. Amen. Senate and Congress need to serve us. Amen. Amen, somebody. We are, amen, call ourselves Americans. And we found it on the principle of the gospel. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Don't we do that? And to the republic for all which it stands. And then we got nerve to say one nation under God. Amen. And don't want to say nothing to him about going to school. Don't want to hear his name. Don't want nobody to say nothing. Go to the office and you're at work. And if you have a prayer meeting, you get called down. But we say we're a nation under God. We need to really look at, amen, the founders, amen, the fathers of the nation, amen. They will not appreciate how we're treating each other. They will not appreciate how we're not loving one another. And so, this morning, give you the gospel. You are have been charged long before I came in. You have been charged to tell the world there is hope. And that hope, hallelujah, that hope is in Jesus Christ. I'm in the Church of Hope this morning. Amen. And I'm in the Church of the Living God. Amen. These people love the Lord. And there are thousands of Americans, thousands of people all around the world who believes that this Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible said to us. The Bible said to us. It pleased the Father that in him should the fullness of the Godhead dwell. He said in his holy word, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was preached unto the Gentiles. God was seen by the angels. And he was received up into glory. This same Savior who is coming again is relying on you to take the gospel. He didn't say folk that weren't his people, right? Didn't he say, if my people, we're his people, right? Who are called by his name. You remember the eight souls, all little Noahs in the ark? We, his people, carrying his name. We in the ark, an ark of safety. Well, yes, we're in the ark. Sometimes things are not what they should be in the church. But I don't see nobody really trying to get out. And I realize that Noah and his family was amongst animals and it was a smell and blah, 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 blah. I ain't see nobody trying to get out of the ark. You are not wrong in serving a God who loves you. Our country was planted and founded on these principles. Think about it. Notre Dame. Think about it. The Lutheran churches. Southern Methodist University. All of these. We used to take care of the sick. The church used to take care of the sick. But when the New Deal came, we gave it over. Yeah, look at somebody and say, you know that young man's right. I'm right, because it's in the history book. We turned it over to others, and we got laxed. But God is still requiring us to minister to the sick and the shut-in. We used to go see about people in their homes after these services. We'd eat our dinners, and then we'd get in the car, or we go, or we make phone calls now and check on people. Let us continue to check on people. Message that will be ministered to on Wednesday, it deals like this, and this is what it said. Prepared. Prepared to participate. We've been going around and around those P's. Prayer, praise, power. But this is a gospel where we have to participate. So, Jesus in preparation. Jesus in preparation in the garden. He fulfilled his assignment. And his assignment was to participate in a cross and go through a gory death. But the story don't end in death. He rose from the dead and he lives forevermore. You guys remember, family, sorry for calling you. You family, this morning, the church needed to be ministered to, the body of believers, because sometimes we get weary. And when they were out on the field and ministering, one of our brothers got beat real bad on several occasions. I think his name was Paul. And some of them were hurt real bad, but they could see beyond what they were going through in their bodies to a day of glory. And that's where we are now. We're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. I need to tell you something. All of this that I've told you, if you do not believe, it's going to be bad for you. But if you believe, all that was said and more is for you. If there is no God, and you feel like there's no God, you have nothing to lose. But if there is God and the preaching of the gospel is true and you don't believe, you'll be forever lost. The Bible says that God breathed into man and he became a living soul. The soul has to live, and the soul will be in a place of eternity forever. I offered you this morning a way to heaven through Jesus Christ. Man, God said early on, there is no other way. That Jesus is the truth, and that Jesus is a life. And no man come to the Father but by Jesus, him. We believe that with all our heart. That's why we can sleep at night. When we don't sleep, it's because we're concerned for souls. We're concerned for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We're concerned for our children. We're concerned for our world. We're concerned for our country. But don't let it stress you out. Take that and put it in God's hand. He'll take the stress and give you a blessing. He'll take the hopelessness and give you hope. He'll take the fear and allow your faith to soar. That's just who he is. He rose from the dead. Let us pray. Father, I simply feel like running and leaping. Nobody chasing me. I just feel like doing it. Because you've been mighty good. You've given us another chance. You've given us another place. God, we pray this morning for the assemblies of people gathered together. Many of them come in at 10 o'clock. Some of them come in at 11. Some of them come in 1. Many of these are taped, and that they can be, you can look at them all day. But we are sheltered in for a reason. It's to find ourselves remembering who made us. Lord, we've been made in the likeness and image of God. Help us, Lord, to speak your truths. Lord, set our face, set us before you. You told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. So, Lord, we seek you this morning. You told us to humble ourselves. We come humble. You told us to pray, and we're praying. You told us to turn from our ways. This is what's happening in our homes. We're turning from our ways. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus the Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, sealed, sealed in the blood and power of the Lord. As the musicians and as the people of God continue to worship, praise him. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord must be praised. Thank God and amen.